Well, one of my favorite things to do as a pastor is baptism. I believe it's central to our identity. I could say it is the favorite thing because it's something that I think we need to remind one another of all of the time. That there is nothing deeper than the promise God gives us in baptism, and we too uphold that promise by helping to shape the faith lives of those who are baptized. So some of the promises we make are to live among God's faithful people, bring them to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, place in their hands the Holy Scripture, so that they may learn to trust God above all else, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God made, and work for justice and peace. Those are words in our baptismal liturgy every time we do a baptism. And so Amos's words that Pastor Dixon just read are a great foundation, I think, for taking our baptismal promises seriously. Amos lived during a time that King Uzziah was in power in Judah and King Jeroboam II was in power in northern Israel. And Amos himself was a shepherd or a farmer that lived in Tekoa, and he felt called by God. He wasn't a professional prophet. He felt called by God to go up to the northern kingdom and bring their lives back to what God had promised for them and live out God's ways in this world. So that is the background for our story today. And as we continue, I took three things from the text that I want to take with us for our very lives and live out our baptismal promises right now. First of all, seek God first. Secondly, let your Sunday faith form your Mondays and every day after. And thirdly, God's love is a flood of justice and righteousness. And so first, seek God first. Martin Luther, when he wrote his catechism, which is basically condensing the Bible into very concrete understandings of how we can live out our faith in the day-to-day, he thought that the most important thing for us to recognize was we put other gods before the one and true God all the time. And so we break the first commandment ahead of anything else. And so he put a lot of emphasis there. So Amos, Martin Luther, myself, any baptized believer needs to keep reminding one another that our first job is to seek God first. At the first church I served, when I taught the Ten Commandments in confirmation, we'd go to the local mall, and we would have the kids go off and find, as we called it, the great God hunt, and we'd have them go find all the things that took the place of trust for God, and they put their own trust in, like things that they thought would affirm their lives, like the latest clothes, the latest perfumes, you know, good food, whatever it was, and they came back with raving lists of lots of things that took the place of the one true God. It's easy for us to find acceptance and belonging when we put our trust in things like that, but it's not lasting, and it's not real. God's promise is the only thing that gives us the one and true gift of God's grace. And so we get to remind one another of that. So first thing we learn from Amos is seek God first. Secondly, about today's text, I observed that Amos wants our Sunday faith or our worship faith to lead us into our Monday life and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Our Sunday faith should guide the rest of our week. Sometimes that happens in really concrete ways, and sometimes it happens in more subtle ways. Now that I'm the age that I am, I can look back on my life and say, I can see how my faith has guided my journey. And so you've maybe heard this story before, but I'll share it again, because when I was 12 years old, my family took us on a ballpark and capital tour. We started in Minnesota, went through Wisconsin, up through Sault Ste. Marie and Canada, down the East Coast and back through Chicago and Wisconsin again, and back to the Dome, because that's what was there then. And we visited all the major league ballparks that we could and all of the capitals in those cities. But what stood out to me was the stop we made in Washington, D.C., when we visited one of my dad's former students who was doing something called the Lutheran Volunteer Corps. And we stopped there, and she and her housemates were all placed in different agencies throughout Washington, D.C. to live out their faith, by making their faith concrete in action. And I was so inspired by it as a 12-year-old that I secretly vowed that I too wanted to do that one day. So I did. I went to the Lutheran Volunteer Corps after college. I was placed in Seattle, Washington. My 1 year there turned into 5 years because it was such a transformation of faith for me. And it made me recognize that God was in unexpected places. Of course, I was sort of an achiever in high school and college, and I wanted to be a super volunteer as well. But I quickly learned that nobody in my community in Seattle cared how good I was at anything. They didn't care about what I had accomplished. They didn't care about what I could or could not do. They simply cared about whether or not I loved them. And isn't that what we all long for? We can tell when a person doesn't really have the time for us or is trying to prove themselves or trying to change us. When our Sunday faith becomes just another thing to check off our list to prove us worthy in God's eyes or worthy in our neighbor's eyes or worthy in our own eyes, we've sort of missed the point. When our Sunday faith propels us to actually see our neighbor and love our neighbor and be changed by our neighbor, I think we've scratched the surface of what Amos is telling the people in today's text. Let your Sunday faith be your Monday faith. Meet your neighbor in the same way you meet God, with reverence and respect, with honor and love. When your Sunday faith influences your Mondays, God's love is most certainly known. And lastly, today's text from Amos reminds us that God's love is a flood of justice and righteousness. And those words are sometimes laden with a lot of heaviness, it seems like. But anytime you see those two words in the Bible together in the same phrase, it indicates divine activity. And so Martin Luther, in this text, it talks about the flood of justice and righteousness. It's a flood of waters beyond what we can even control or do or try on our own. It's something that sweeps us up and pushes us out into the world. In 1523, Martin Luther wrote his little book of baptism, and he added to our baptismal liturgy something he called the flood prayer. And we continue to use a version of it this day, and we talk about how water was formed at creation, and water saved the Israelites from the might of their oppressors. It baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, and we are joined to that water in our baptism. We're joined to that water, and we're joined to the greater scriptural story. We're joined to this call that Amos gives us in the text today to go and live our baptismal call and blessing and share love with the world. Amos declares that true worship is known when our faith in God reflects justice and righteousness for our neighbor. True worship is knowing and learning that we are all in this together. We're not competitors for God's favor, but we're collaborators in God's grace. God's promise is always about abundant life. It's always there for us. Sometimes we don't realize it, but God is always with us, always opening our eyes to new opportunities before us, opportunities to trust God above all else. So, seek God first. Let your Sunday faith guide your Mondays and every other day of the week. And let justice and righteousness take you for a ride. God's love will always surprise you and will always bring you new life. For God's love is a flood of mighty water that washes you in baptism, forgives you of your sin, and holds and keeps you forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.